Can you say the letter C?
CC Hunt Files.
All right, welcome back to this week's episode, CC Hunt Files. Got a really fun one lined up for you guys, but first, let's talk about what makes the wheels go round. Grizzly Coolers, code WCB, save you some money. If you guys don't have coolers yet, you're really getting close to the red line here. Hunting season is upon us. I know I just talked to the guys not that long ago. Grizzly's got pretty much about everything back in stock after the big summer blast from preseason and whatnot. So if you need anything, hit those guys up. Again, code WCB, Black Ovis, WCB10, save you guys some money there. They've got a brand new Merino wool line coming out. Make sure you check that out. I can't give a ton more away as far as details there, or I'm going to get yelled at, but just be on the lookout. It's going to be a new Merino blend and brand from them that's going to replace the old one. Had a couple guys message me last week about the Arrow ID builder. By all means, if you need arrows, you need another backup set, maybe you're just running way behind and do not have any arrows built yet, give those guys a shout. It's pretty cool. You pick everything you want as far as shafts, fletching, knocks, etc. Within a week, they build them, ship them to your door. Honestly, it's pretty fail safe if you're a guy that's running out on time, or just, hell, maybe you just don't like fletching arrows. Some guys just hate it. So there you go. Let them do it for you. They'll ship it to your door. Hunter's Box Club. So this month, it'll be in the show notes on these episodes. But shout out to Devin, Hunter's Box Club. We got a really cool shirt. It's going to be CC Hunt Files, WCB related. You can only get it through the box. Really, really cool design that Devin and Kurt put together. It actually is super badass. Not trying to brag or anything, but it's definitely really, really cool. So check that out. $29.99. First box is free. Like I said, the link will be in the show notes for you guys to get that free box the first month. Get signed up for that. With that being said, man, it's almost like I got Michael Jordan on the other end of the line. I got the man, the myth, the walking legend, the African slayer himself.
Easy.
I got my man, Kurt Geyer. Kurt, what's up, dude? It's been a while.
What up, man? I know it has been a while. We've been busy. We've been in kind of this, well, different parts of the world, and then also kind of the same parts of the world all at the same time.
Yes.
But yeah, dude, it's been busy. It's like you'd think we'd be able to connect more as much as we talk, but like lining podcasts up and scheduling doesn't work as, I think, as easy as some people think it does.
No, it really does, especially with lifestyles and family, and we both got kiddos running around, and it's a busy time of the year. But, dude, Africa, Wyoming, let's just start in Africa. I mean, holy hell, what a trip that was. I mean, you got to give me a quick synopsis and a rundown of what that was like. I mean, from A to Z, it was, you know, I mean, I had to pull out, and I knew for me, it was going to be better with trying to get this house started and built. And I've had just a million setbacks, and it ended up probably being a blessing that I didn't go, because it would have been just even more of a nightmare when I got back. But dude, I was so stoked, so jealous, so pumped, so sad all at the same time when you guys were there, because I knew you guys were just going to have a banger of a time. So
yeah,
give us a rundown, man. Like,
oh,
what
man,
was the coolest moments? What was like, what surprised you the most? Like, just give us a couple high points of that whole deal, because what a trip that was for you guys.
Well, what surprised me the most about it, like, I knew I was going to like it, of course. You know, you're hunting, you're right, never going to like hate it, but I'm surprised at how much I really did like it. Like, I loved everything about it. The animals are fascinating. I like the hunting style way more than I thought I would. And you know, you can blind or spot and stalk, whatever you want to do, but I just loved it all. I'd go back every year. I think Africa is very underrated as far as people think it's overrated until they go and they're like, no, this is underrated. Like, there's so much more to this that most people here in the States don't understand, as far as like the conservation practices and how things are laid out there versus how they're laid out here at home.
Right.
So I think when people go there and they see that and experience it, they have a different respect for Africa and African game and how tough they are. And, you know, it's, you know, if you want to kill any animal, right, you're going to shoot animals. But when you target the bigger animals, that's where it gets fun. And there is strategy in it. Like people think that there might not be. But, you know, it's just a good time, man. The whole thing was amazing. I was very fortunate to kill some great animals, some big high-end trophy class animals, which I'm very, very pumped about. You know, I killed, you know, we've talked about it on the regular WCB platform. We have two more African videos coming, but I killed an impala. I shot a water buck, which is one of my favorite animals. I shot a 30.5-inch water buck, which to me looks massive and apparently is pretty damn good. I shot a 45-inch sable, just a touch over 45-inch sable with 10.5-inch bases, which I guess is absolutely insane. Stuart was trying to scale in, like, how big they are, you know, with the whitetail scale. So that was helpful. And then I shot a great gemsbuck, an old female gemsbuck, like hair falling out, pretty much no teeth. So that was kind of cool for that management practice to get a good big gemsbuck like that. But yeah, man, the trip was just incredible. Eric shot his giraffe. You know, that was crazy. Everybody shot some cool stuff. Nyalas, warthogs. I mean, you name it. We were slinging arrows through shit. It was cool.
Yeah, absolutely. The next round, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. I'm going to be on the next round for sure. It's definitely it's a bucket list. It's something that, you know, I think people are like, yeah, Africa, man, I don't know. But then once you go do it, everyone that I've ever talked to is like, oh, dude, like must have hunt that you've got to do.
It's just so fun, man. It's so different, and the animals are actually really cool. And like, if you go there. You know, talking with Stuart, I was asking them 21 questions every time we were in the damn blind and we seen an animal, I'd hit them with a whole new slew of questions. And I'm like, man, sorry, I'm probably bugging you, like, but I'm genuinely want to know about all these animals and learn more about their behaviors and what they do, because, you know, there's limited animals here in North America that we know about, but those guys over there know everything about 30 plus plains game animals, you know, like their movement behavior, when they come to water, how they bed, all that type of stuff. So I was just asking Stuart so many questions. I'm like, man, am I annoying you with all these? Like, I feel like it's just, I'm asking you so much. And he's like, man, you'd be surprised how many guys come over here and don't give a fuck. And they just want to shoot stuff and they don't care about the animal. They don't care to know any of this information. So it was kind of cool to hear him say that. He's like, no, it's appreciated that you care and you're curious and you want to learn it. Cause I think it showed, I didn't really mean it this way, but I guess naturally, like I'm respecting the animals we're hunting by just wanting to learn more about them and caring about them rather than just wanting to kill them.
No, absolutely. And it's just cool. I mean, anytime I go somewhere and hunt something new or hunt a new place, like it's fun to know the history or just where you're at, what you're doing, like who, what, when, where, why. I mean, that's all part of it for me. And I know it is for you. So it's cool to hear that. Cause I do think a lot of guys are just like, ah, fuck it. I'll go to Africa and shoot a bunch of shit. And I don't really give a hell about anything else. I'm just here to like throw carbon through lungs.
Yeah. Which, you know, there's nothing wrong. I don't know. I think if you're going, you should be interested, but it's, I think people are kind of like, yeah, it's great. It was a great harvest. Da, 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 da. It's like, dude, shooting animals is fucking fun. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of a harsh way to put it, but yeah, there's a lot of benefits that come from it, but I like shooting stuff with my bow. And, you know, TV shows might not say it that way. That's kind of a Tim Wells-esque thing to say. But it's true. I enjoy it. I think it's a damn good time.
It is. And, you know, a lot of people, I mean, even the word harvest, like, I'm not big on that because I'm just like, hey, I harvest corn, I harvest beans, I harvest winter wheat. I fucking kill bucks and kill bulls. That's just kind of how it, and I know it's like,
it's who you're around, right? Harvest, it's like, If you're
harvest is like the you know, maybe the politically correct way to put it, but like when I think of I'm gonna go shoot an animal, I think of I'm killing an animal. I'm not.
Yeah. I get, there's two ways to explain it. When you're in camp with your buddies and someone's like, yeah, I harvested this great buck. I'm like, who are you, fucking nerd? What are you talking about?
Right.
But if you're teaching your kids elementary school class about the benefits of hunting and how it provides meat and you can donate this meat to an orphanage, you know, you're not going to be in a fourth grade class going, yeah, this thing came in and I fucking killed it. You got to appeal to your crowd, I guess, a little bit. So I do understand the terms and all that, but... You know, then you might want to be like, you know, we took this animal because of this. It was of a mature, you know, you break it down. But when you're with your buddies, I guess when you're on TV, you could say harvest, but you're killing it. People know you're killing it. So you might as well just say
it. Yeah. Well, and it's just like the whole deal with Eric and his giraffe. I mean, and I've got him lined up to come on for everyone that's wondering to talk just about the giraffe and the experience there and killing that old bull. But like, just like that whole deal, people are like, oh God, you killed a giraffe. Like have no clue how many families that thing fed and how old it was. And I mean, you know, if people were to watch an old, mature buck, bull, whatever, die of old age or watch lions or wolves rip it to shreds because it no longer can fucking do what it needs to do to survive and get away from predators. Like people would really truly look at things differently when someone kills an old buck or an old bull that needs taken out. Like that is a 100%. Way better way to go than 30 hyenas jumping on its back, tearing it down and eating it from its asshole to its head.
Yeah.
That's what nature, I mean, that's the brutal
nature's metal, dude.
I mean, oh, whew.
Nature is metal.
That's just, I was just raking. I got back from, Colorado, was out there. Well, I was like 13 days between Utah and Colorado and got back and I was raking hay the other day and I watched this red tail hawk swoop down and pick up this little baby groundhog. And I'm in the middle of this field raking hay. We're finishing up hay and stuff. And, dude fucking swoops right down, red tail, grabs this little baby. And I'm just like, now you watch that take place and that thing's going to get eaten alive. But there'd be people out there that if I shot that groundhog, it would be, oh my God, I can't believe you could kill that. Okay. What would be worse? A bullet going through his head or that red tail taking him up in a tree or dropping him on the ground? It breaks all of his limbs and it eats him alive while he's paralyzed. Cause I mean, that's the brutal reality. Like that's what's going to happen to that groundhog.
Yeah. Like, it sounds like, geez, that's harsh, but it's like, it is. Well, I mean, hey, did you see in the working class bow hunters group, somebody posted, it was at a hunting camp in South Africa. Hyenas killed a kudu in like an open air, like lodge dinner hall. And it's like just a bloodbath.
Oh, dude. And that's real. I mean, that's how it is. I mean, look at the bear stuff. Everybody's like, oh my God, you killed a bear. Go look up a video in Yellowstone of a giant grizzly or a big black bear, boar, tearing apart an elk calf and how they chase them down and pin them down and eat them alive. And then tell me how cute and cuddly the fucking bear is then, because that's real. Like that's what, you know, go watch a pack of wolves take down an elk from its hind legs and eat it up to it and eat it alive until it's, you know, basically bleeds out 15, 20 minutes later. Like that's nature. Like you said, it's nature is a brutal bitch, man.
It is
way more brutal than us throwing carbon through something.
Right. I mean, I don't need to explain that more to people, but like anyone that's a non-hunter that would ever listen, which they wouldn't, but if they did, they'd realize. But no, dude, in a nutshell, Africa was badass. I think everybody should experience it. And I've been saying, you know, hey, we got some plans coming. We have some meetings. Right. We're trying to put together the most affordable, realistic package for everybody to go. And we have some things coming to help guys pay for hunts and build points and shit like that. So that's exciting stuff coming down the pipe. But yeah, I'd go back to Africa every single year if I could. And if you guys do go and you go separate from what we do, pace yourself. You know, don't kill every animal you want to kill because if you go once, you're going to go back. I promise you.
Oh, yeah.
And go back with, you know, have fun. Don't stress out about shooting every animal on your list because, like, now I have a lot to look forward to and I go back. I know a lot about Africa now. I have the experience. I know the shot place, but I know what I need. So next time I go, it's like, you know, I'd love to shoot a kudu. I'd like to kill a Nyala. I'd like to have an opportunity at some of these other animals. So I have a lot to look forward to when I go back on my second trip. So that's part of the fun there as well. You know, more and more to look forward to and more fun with good people. So go to Africa if you ever get the chance. It's pretty incredible.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so you come back from Africa, you got like a 2-3 week window and boom, you're heading to Wyoming on a really good elk tag. So what, so the transition from, Kurt gets home from Africa, he comes back to the real world for a little bit. Now you're getting ready for Wyoming. How was that whirlwind? Cause I mean, you know, you guys get home and then within like a month, you're basically jumping in the truck and heading to Wyoming to go elk hunt. So like did you have a major transition there? Like, was there anything gear related? You were like, you know, oh shit, I need to get more dialed or change something or do something, or were you pretty much just like, all right, I feel pretty good, I just got to mentally get ready for, you know, long grueling days in Wyoming, you know, like, cause it is like you were damn near back to back on hunts and I do that a lot. So for me, that's like normal. But for a lot of people, that's not really normal to go from like big hunt to big hunt to big hunt. Like it's usually just not like that.
Yeah, to me, it's like fairly overwhelming. It's like, man, I just got home and I'm leaving again. But I did put on a heavier fixed blade broadhead. You know, I just went 100 grain, 125 grain. And I knew, so in Africa, because of like the vital sit forward and the jumpiness of the animals, like they live with leopards and lions and hyenas and everything that wants to kill them. So, you know, I basically wasn't going to shoot past 30 yards in Africa. I think my furthest shot was on my water buck, which ended up being like 32 yards. And that was like max distance that I wanted to shoot one in Africa. So this elk hunt, I knew I could be shooting potentially 60, 70, 80 yards. So I basically focused on those long range. You know, I wanted to be 60 or in. You know, of course, you don't want to take any further than that if you can help it. But so I went in confident, like, hey, 60 yards and in, I'm good. The fixed blades are flying great. Shooting slick trick, Viper tricks, the fixed blades. And so that was basically a lot more long range prep and making sure my gear was good and made sure everything was tied on my bow and tied in. And I wanted to make sure it was going to last through kind of like the wear and tear and the abuse that Wyoming offers on anything, just like any other Western state. So that was the big thing, you know, just making sure everything was how I think it should be, going through my equipment. You know, even down to like the rubber band in my hinge on my release, like making sure that thing got replaced. It wasn't wore out and, you know, finer detail stuff like that. Putting bowstring wax on the threads of my broadhead so they didn't rattle loose when I'm moving around. And, you know, just all the way down to like the finer things like that. And then just mentally prep, a lot of visualizing. I do a lot of that, like mental practice. But yeah, I mean, that's really the only thing I changed. I mean, I was sore from shooting so much. Like I shot a lot to the point where I probably should have just shot a little less and stretched out a little longer. But, no, man, it was good. It was fun. Like, I felt unprepared because it's just one after another, but I was as prepared as I could have been, you know?
What was kind of your biggest, I guess, not mental hurdle, but in your mind, what were you like, you know, okay, I really got to make sure I'm dialed here. Like, was it shooting for you, or was it, I mean, just like kind of like mental and physical, like, all right, I need to make sure I'm prepared both those ends. Cause you know, you've been to Wyoming and you've got to hunt mule deer there. So you kind of know what you're getting into. You've been on some elk hunts. So like, you know, like going into it, like, was there anything that you were like, man, I really want to make sure I'm like dialed here?
A lot of it for me is mental. Like, as far as I do the same thing with whitetails. So, you know, if we're going to call in an elk and an elk's going to come in, I want to visualize like my shot. Like, okay, if he comes in from this way, do this, draw like this, make sure your shot placement's good. You know, if he's at whatever distance, make sure you're set to that distance. The shot gets broke off, your anchor, all that. Like I run through that whole mental process probably, I don't want to say more than anybody, but I think I do it. I rely on that heavier than anything else because it almost feels like when it does happen or an elk comes in or a whitetail comes in, you kind of feel like you've been there before and you've thought about it and less takes you by surprise if you bury that in. maybe I do it too much to where it's a fault, but so that was my biggest thing, trying to visualize how it was going to go down as best as I could. And each set that we set up on, it's like, okay, if the elk comes from there, just be ready, you know, do this, do that, blah, 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 that type of stuff. So,
yeah. And you're, I mean, and I know going into this hunt, you know, you weren't just going to shoot any bull, you know, you wanted a good bull, you wanted a big bull, you know, and that's kind of where you held, you know, like,
yeah,
it wasn't just going to be any elk, was going to be the elk, like, you know, you kind of had goals in your mind and it's kind of standards and, you know, going into it, I didn't figure you would kind of fall back on that. I figured you would probably hold pretty true to that, because I know you were pretty dead set on, you know what, I want a good bull or bust, and, you know, so I didn't feel like you would have to really juggle in your mind, should I shoot this bull, should I not? Like, I felt like if a bull come in that you wanted, you'd know right away and be like, ooh, yeah, there he is.
Yeah, you know, it's for elk, there's other animals that I might kind of like break my standard a little bit. So, like, for example, like the first sponsored hunt I ever went on was with Leupold, a mule deer hunt in Oregon. And I bow hunted every day and got close. But it was gun season, you know, but you could bow hunt during, on this area. In the last couple of days, like, dude, bring a gun. Like, these mule deer are so pressured. And, you know, I did come off what I wanted as my mule deer, personal goal. I went a little lower than what I normally would have, and that's fine, you know, like, I'm still thrilled with that buck, look at that buck, have those memories, very proud of it, but I was flexible, you know. Last year in the backcountry for the Wyoming mule deer, I wanted to kill like a 170 or better, and I killed a 160 buck. But still, you know, you get out there, you realize how tough the hunt is, and you're like, man,
oh yeah,
those backcountry deer are crazy. Like, in my head, add 20-30 inches to any backcountry buck because it's so difficult. So, like, you know, that I was like, okay, that's cool. But for elk, for whatever reason, it's the one animal that I'm like, I have this certain look that a bull needs to be for me to want to shoot it. And having elk meat would have been great. And I did pass some bulls. But for me, I don't see myself killing 20 elk. I don't see myself killing maybe 6 elk in my life. I see myself maybe killing 4 bulls in my lifetime, maybe more. I don't know what's going to happen. But I guess I just want them all to count. Like, I didn't want to come home and be like, yeah, I shot this bull. He's not very big, but it's my first bull with my bow. In my head, I just didn't want that. And there's nothing wrong with that if anybody else does it. But for me personally, I was like, I just don't want to, I don't want to have mental asterisks in my head of like, I should have done this, or I could have held out, and I shot this bull on the second day. What would have happened on the other 3 days that I was supposed to hunt? I didn't really want to fuck with that too much. But I don't blame anybody for doing it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there was other guys in camp. There's two other elk hunters, in camp, with Trey Heiner, Grays River Outfitting. So I'll put a link, in the description. It's Trey. We do our bear camps and all that stuff. So you guys are, if you listen to WCB on a regular, you're familiar with like the camp we were in. And then Devin came out and hunted with me. But there's two other elk hunters in camp, and we kind of had that talk like, hey, what's your guys' limits? Like, what's your minimums? And they were both like, any bull with a bow. I'm like, yeah, I get that. And they're like, what about you? I'm like, I'd like to be 280 or better, you know, minimum 260. You know, I want a good representation of what a bull elk is from Wyoming, you know? And they didn't give me shit about it, but it was kind of like, really? Like, dude, any bull. But I'm like, yeah, I get it, but for me mentally, that's not what I want.
Right. And everybody's got a difference of opinion on that. You know what I mean? Like one guy's, this bull's too small, as another guy's, oh, fuck yeah, I'll kill that bull any day. So, I mean, that's like the cool thing about hunting is, you know, one man's riches is another man's freaking junk. You know, I mean, it's all based off of what an individual wants, which is cool. But, no, I mean, and you want to shoot what's going to make you happy. And if a smaller bull just isn't doing it for you, yeah, I mean, fuck, let him walk and let, you know, let him grow, or let somebody else kill him down the road. I mean, that's just you holding true to like your own standards and your own self. And I mean, I think people in the hunting world should do more of that, as far as, hey, I'd be happy with that buck. don't give a fuck whether your buddy would be happy with it or not. Or, you know what? Hey, my whole hunting party would shoot this bull, but he's just not really what I want, so I'm not going to shoot it. Like, that's how it should be. I mean, there's no point of killing for anybody else. You know, I don't ever want to kill a buck because so-and-so thought I should, or
you got to feel right about it.
Yeah, absolutely. At the end of the day, like, you're the one that's drawing the bow back. So,
and dude, honestly, you know, like, to break down the hunt and kind of like where my mindset was in the, the duration of the 5-day hunt, like, day one, no elk, no bugles, and it was hot. So I'm like,
no shit.
Yeah. So I'm like, fuck, you know, me and Trey are sitting on the mountain. He's like, oh, this sucks. You know, I'm like, oh yeah, it does kind of. The next day we get out, some bugles, but they shut up like an hour after daylight. It was hot still. But, you know, coming
how
off the mountain,
talking like 80s.
Yeah. That first day, 80s probably.
Oof,
they were all in the dark timber, you know? So like we're heading down, walking through this, like, this hillside dark timber kind of on this bench. And, basically we sat in there, the wind was doing crazy shit, and ran right into an elk, like, bugle up, oh, shit, he's at 50 yards, here he comes up to 30 yards, like a 300 class bull, no shot, 30 yards, no shot. There's going to be there's going to be a theme here, as I go through these days. 30 yards, no shot, turns around, didn't like it. I think he actually winded us because the wind was doing crazy shit. 20 minutes later, another bull starts screaming, and I think he was with that other bull. A little smaller bull, but still, like, dark rack, everything. I drew back on him at 60 yards, but he was quartering hard. Not taking that shot at 60 yards.
No.
And I just didn't want it. I wanted it to be perfect. I'm not chasing a bull through the mountains of Wyoming. Fuck that. So I let down, no shot. Starts raining on and off. We get down, no bulls into day two. Day three, me, Devin, and Trey go out. We hear bulls bugling. Go to a different area. Get into them. All of a sudden, we realize we're in the middle of the herd. Like, 200 elk. There's a big boy in it. There's, I don't know, 15 bulls in it. We just got lucky. We're in the middle of it. And,
In the fucking elk rut.
Dude, we were
just right in the middle of elk fest.
We didn't even realize it at first too. Like, cause we heard bugles. So we sneak in there to try and get them to come in.
Right.
And we thought we jumped some cows cause some cows went running. Well, then we realized after we sat there for a minute, it was just like calves and other cows playing and running around us. And we're looking. I'm like, dude, there's more elk over here. Oh my God, there's some behind it. There's some over there. We were in the middle of it. I don't know. It was crazy. It's exactly what you dream of when you think about going elk hunting. Bulls bugling. It was nuts. I had a 60-yard shot on a pretty good 5x5. You know, I'm not saying I wish I would have shot, but everything happens for a reason. I did not take it. I passed. But a good bull, like a really good bull, a big 5x5, you know, like one that they look cool. Didn't take it. Elk move off in the dark timber. We get up on top of the mountain, spot one of the big giant herd bulls, kind of going to find more cows. Me and Trey made a move on them. Didn't work out. The next day, chasing bugles again, which wears you out. But then we decided to get in that dark timber and do some setups. Almost like we're turkey hunting. Like Devin would be, right. Devin and Braden would be behind me doing cow calls, and we'd work that timber. They'd be behind me like 50, 60, 70, 80 yards. And, I actually had that big bull in at 30 yards, wouldn't cross a downfall. And just felt uneasy about it. Turned around, no shot. So there we go. There's the theme is starting, right? Close, but no cigar.
Yep.
No shot.
Yep.
I could have forced an arrow into him. I'm not going to do that. I have another bull come down. He ended up being a raghorn at 30 yards. Could have shot him, or 40 yards. Could have shot him. Didn't take it. Passed him. Next day, on some good bulls again. You know, have one come in, draw my bow, no shot. We were just starting to get in the rut, like raghorns right on me, 10 yards. I don't know if you saw that photo of me behind that tree and that raghorn, 10 yards from me.
Yeah.
I mean, that happened four times that week that I could have shot. I had a bull last day, comes in, right away just starts screaming at us. So we're like, well, we got to go after that bull. Get him to come in. Everything works good to do our setup. He comes a little far on the trail, but he loops in between like me and Devin while he's cow calling. I draw back and try and stop him. Probably like a not huge, like a 240-ish bull, 230, 240. He stops right behind a pine tree at 40 yards. No shot. So there's the theme. Close but no cigar. And then basically that was like the whole theme of the whole trip. The last day after that happened, we found a bull, a herd bull on the other side of this mountain. Devin and I get in on this bench and we make a play. And I get down in some jack pines and he's up on the hill behind me in the dark timber. And he's cow calling, cow calling, cow calling. And I hear something coming up the mountain and it's loud, you know, it sounds like an elk. And then I see like elk body coming up at 10 yards. So I draw my bow thinking, here he comes. He's coming right over. He's going to be right here 8 yards. I'm going to just wax him. Next thing I know, I'm in the middle of the herd of cows, 15 cows. I almost get stepped on. They're all panting, tongues hanging out. Like it was chaotic. I actually got a little scared at one point. I'm like, fuck, they're going to run me over. Here, I can hear the bull coming up behind him. He bugles. I can feel the bugle in my body. Like, I could feel, like, the noise frequencies run through my chest.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, fuck, this is happening. So I'm full draw still, and I'm like, cow, 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 waiting for him to come nosing that last cow over the hill and just let him have it. Well, you know, the theme of this whole hunt, close but no cigar. He's coming up, and then the bulls are kind of, or the cows are kind of doing like a hook, and he comes in and Jay hooks him and cuts him off instead of coming behind that last cow.
The old fucking Jay hook move.
Yep. And Devin gets up. He's like, dude, there's a 1% chance that he wasn't going to be on that last cow, and that's the 1% that he took.
Yep.
So
there's been a lot of bulls saved by the old Jay hook. Trying to, like, basically loop back around and cut the herd off again or get back ahead. And, that's usually when it's, you know, tail to ass like that with that many cows, that bull's right. Like Devin said, he's 100% right. That bull is right on that last cow moving everybody along. But every now and again, the last bull I killed in Utah, he did that the day before I killed him. I'm at 70 yards, just everything's going perfect. Cow, 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 satellite bull, raghorn, cow, cow, calf, calf. Okay, last cow. And fuck.
Yep.
He pulls the old J-hook stunt and goes around, swings to the left. And I'm just, I mean.
Dude, even if there would have been a lesser bull in there, but it was all cows with him. Even if there would have been, because that bull was like a 310 type bull, which, all day I'll shoot that.
Even if there
would have been a lesser bull at this point, last day, some of my frustrations, not a raghorn, but if there would have been like a 250 type bull in there, 230 type bull, and he would have came in before that other bull, he would have got it, you know? And, and this was mid late afternoon and the dark timber on this bench and it just didn't work out. You know, they all moved on and, I pretty much threw in the towel right there. You know, it's like getting to the end of the day. It's like, to make another play, we'd have to just run into a bull, right? You know, and just that type of thing. So, so I talked to Devin. I'm like, man, it's been a good hunt, dude. We were in the elk. Devin and I had some really, like, it was a success. Almost every set we put in game plan, like, I had an elk in our lap. There was just something that hindered it from actually coming together. And that's with a bow, it has to be perfect. And, I could have shot an elk in the guts. I could have forced arrows into almost every sit on an elk. I could have.
Yeah.
But I don't want that. I want it to be picture perfect. And sometimes you just don't get perfect, but I'm not chasing a bull through 10,000 foot elevation, mountain over mountain over mountain. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Elk are already tough as hell, even whenever you hit them really good, let alone whenever you hit them bad. I mean,
So I didn't want that.
I don't think people realize, you know, everyone thinks of elk, oh, big target, big lungs, big heart. But their lungs and heart, liver, all that shit is bigger than a whitetail. But you hit a bull one lung, your odds are not in your favor that bull dies. You hit a bull high in the lungs, once again, odds are not in your favor that bull dies. I mean, their will to live and the sheer toughness factor that they possess. I've seen a lot of elk get hit pretty good and not die. Mm-hmm. I mean, you damn near have to hit them perfect or very close to heart, double lung, etc. Like, there is not a lot of room for a fuck up on shot placement with a big elk. I mean, yeah. It's just how they are. It's how it is. So you were spot on to not force, not rush, not do something you didn't want to do, because honestly, 99% chance it probably wouldn't have worked out. And then, like you said, now you're chasing around a fucking wounded elk at 10,000 feet. I mean, it's just not a fun scenario. It's not a good scenario. And more likely than not, you're not going to recover that bull.
Yeah, and I didn't want that heartbreak. I'd rather not kill one than force narrow into one, which I feel like the temptation of, like, the hard work and how exhausted you are when it gets in there makes you want to do shit like that. But here's the thing. So I drew a general tag in Wyoming. If you don't fill it with a bow, you can go back and hunt with a rifle. Yep. And so Trey's like, hey, dude, let's come back and let's chase him down late October with a rifle, you know? And I'm like, yeah. I was like, I'm not always crazy about the thought of, like, I'm a bow hunter. You know, I have nothing against gun hunting. I've killed one deer with loophole with a rifle. But Trey made a good point. He's like, dude, you don't want to let this tag go to waste. Like, you got to kill an elk. You'll have elk meat. Like, fly back out. We'll chase him down. Yep. So there's talks of us doing it with this. He's got a long range gun, which long range gun, I mean, just like a good rifle. And then, but he's got a lever action 30-30. He's like, dude, it'd be really cool to shoot one with that. So we'll see. We'll see how it pans out
about that.
Devin's
probably all about that, because Devin's favorite gun is this old school cowboy lever action 30-30 that he carries around. He talks about that damn thing all the time.
Well, they are cool, you know. That would be awesome.
They are. It's an old cowboy buffalo gun.
Yeah. So I'm all for it. You know, I am going to go back. What's painful is I think I leave like the 20th of October to go back. And I was kind of like, man, I don't want to miss like the prime for whitetails if there's a cold front. But, you know, Sam made a good point. She's like, whitetails are here. Like, you live here.
Oh, yeah.
You got 2 months to continue to hunt whitetails after that. Like, go hunt your elk. You know, rifle or bow, go hunt your elk.
Yeah.
So I said, I love you, honey. So that's what I'm doing.
You know specifically because we're, you know, best friends and stuff, but most people that listen to this know, like, I leave the whitetail rut to go chase the mule deer rut every single year, and that's because I can hunt whitetails here 4 months out of the year. I can only hunt, you know, the mule deer rut for 8, 9, 10 days if I'm lucky, and that's it. So, I mean, like, I totally get that 100%. And, you know, people are like, oh, you're nuts to leave the whitetail rut. I'm like, man, I can hunt whitetails 4 months, literally.
Yeah.
4 months. I get to, you know, if I go hunt mule deer in the rut, I've literally got 7 to 10 days, you know, and then that's it. And then maybe I hunted them for 10 days early in the season. So I'm hunting mule deer maybe 20, 25 days a year. I can literally hunt whitetails, you know, basically through, you know, 120 plus days if I need to. So, I mean, I totally get that philosophy, 100%. I think you're smart to do it, and that's a great tag. You'll get into some cool bulls. There's nothing prettier than October out west. I mean, dude, there is – I mean, I don't care if you're in Colorado, Utah, Wyoming, Idaho. Like, the leaves and the color change and all that shit going on in October, it's stupid pretty out there. I mean, you sights and sounds, yeah, you'd be nuts not to go back. Totally crazy. Like, I'm happy you're going back. That's going to be a badass hunt. Guarantee you'll get on bulls. You'll get a good opportunity. I mean, yeah, I think it'll all pay off, and it's all going to work out the way it was supposed to.
Yeah, I hope so, man. You know, it's going to be a good time. I'm excited to go back. I don't know. It was just a good experience. I didn't leave unhappy. I left. I felt fulfilled, you know?
You experienced every high and every low that hunting the elk rut could possibly give you besides killing a bull. But every, like, 99% of the experience you experienced.
That's what I was saying, too. And talking to the other guys in the area, they're like, dude, you were just in them. Like, that doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to have as many back-to-back close calls, like, that just doesn't happen. Like, it's very rare. Yeah. You know, sometimes elk aren't even in this area, like, so we're just very fortunate we found where they were at, and we made all the plays we could make, and we had elk come in almost not every time, but, you know, at least once a day besides that first day. We were on them. I saw animals. I did draw back like five times the whole trip. So, yeah, man, how do you leave upset? I feel very fulfilled. I think I've had, I think in that 5 days, I probably had 5 years of experience in elk encounters. So, it was cool, man. I enjoyed it.
Well, a lot of people don't realize these hunts on public like that, whether you're by yourself with a buddy, you've got a guide, you're semi-guided, et cetera, doesn't matter. I mean, they're 20% or less. And then when you factor in, hey, I don't want to just kill a bull, I want to kill a good bull, you can cut that number in half. So realistically, you're at 10 to 12% success rate on a shot opportunity. That's not even killing. That's drawing your bow back, releasing an arrow. Now you've got to do your job. So if we're going to get down to the nitty gritty and break it down between a dude that wants a shot on a good bull and then kills a good bull, you're probably in the single digits of percent out of 100. So, I mean, like, it's not like these hunts are quote unquote, you're guaranteed an opportunity because you're not. I mean, three-fourths of the people that go on an elk hunt will not have an opportunity. The other 25% that do get an opportunity, a third of those won't actually come to full draw or get to release an arrow. And then another third of that third won't actually kill a bull. They miss, they wound, whatever. So, I mean, like I said, you're looking at 5 to 6% that are actually drawing back, releasing an arrow, coming home with meat in the cooler. When you break it down like that, I mean, if that doesn't make you feel pretty damn fortunate for the experience you had, like, I don't know what the fuck kind of drugs you're on, because I mean, it's hard to just get into elk one time, let alone day after day and have all those encounters. I mean, that's honestly, like when you were telling me the story the other day, and obviously I didn't want to get into too much because I knew we were going to do the podcast, but I'm just like, holy shit. Like, you had enough encounters for 10 people in a 5 day span. Like, that's nuts.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, for me, you know, I've elk hunted a lot. I'm about to go spend 14 days chasing bulls in Colorado. Like, you know, I get to hunt elk a lot, all throughout the season. And to hear that many encounters and hear like what you had, like, I'm like, holy shit. Like, I'm happy to have 1 or 2 days like that. And I feel like, okay, I got to make my opportunity happen in one of these 2 days. Like, you had that consistently. I mean, that's an elk hunter's absolute fucking dream, what you got to experience. I mean, there's a lot of people that will hunt elk and never experience a third of what you just went through in their whole hunting career. You know, they might hunt elk 5-6 times and they might experience a couple days like that.
Yeah.
Not 4 or 5 days, all these encounters, blah, blah, blah. I mean, yeah, like I don't know if people really truly will understand like how fortunate you were and how many opportunities that were there to experience the total, like the plethora of what the elk rut actually encompasses and what it can give a guy. Like, fuck, man, you got to experience like A to Z. Like, that's, yeah. I mean, if you wouldn't have been happy with that experience, I would have literally been like, man, I'm questioning your sanity, because like, you got to experience what most guys live their whole life and hope to experience once or twice. So yeah, like when you say you walked away from the hunt fortunate and happy and was like satisfied, like, oh fuck, man, like you should have been like super stoked. You know,
oh,
100%,
I was
like, yeah, absolutely. That's what I mean. Like you should have felt that way, the way that you're describing it, because it's not everybody that – I know a lot of guys that go on an elk hunt 7, 8, 9, 10 days and don't see an elk. Or they see elk one day, or it takes them 7 days to find elk and then their hunt's over. Like, you know, you guys got in them, stayed with them. I mean, yeah, you couldn't have really asked for more besides killing a big bull. The other 99% of the experience you got to experience damn near every day. Like, that's wild, man.
Yeah, for sure. It was great. It was great. I can't wait to go back. You know, I got points in other states, you know, I'll try and do a couple. I'll try to do, you know, I'd like to do at least 2 more elk hunts, you know, besides this year with the going back with a gun. I'd like to do at least 2 more before I draw Wyoming again. Maybe like a Colorado, maybe, I don't know, like a New Mexico or something like that. I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm open-minded. I'm hungry to get that archery bowl pretty bad right now, so we'll see.
Absolutely, man. No, that's awesome, dude. I was stoked that you know, you had the experience of a lifetime, and you'll get your bull come October. There's no doubt. Like I said, there's no prettier time to be out there. And hell, dude, there's a lot of bulls that still bugle and rut hard in October. I mean, I've experienced some of the best bull rut action in October. I think a lot of people think once you flip the calendar from September to October, for some odd reason, the elk shut off. That's it. That's the end. Like, no, man. Like, October can be freaking dynamite. I guarantee you'll still hear bugles and still see some rutting activity, even clear up into, you know, the 20th of October whenever you go. Guaranteed. Like, it ain't over yet.
Really? Cool. Well,
yep.
I'm pumped, man. I think it's going to be a damn good time. So we'll see, man. We'll see. It's going to be fun.
No, for sure. Yeah, I'm getting ready. I leave in, by the time this podcast airs, I'll already be on my elk hunt. But as present day right now, I've got two more days, and then I leave for 14 to go chase bugles with Jared there in Colorado. So yeah, man, we're super stoked about that. We're going to be hitting like prime time and get the hunt clear up into the end of the season. So yeah, man, like hearing your story and hearing you talk, like it's got me freaking even more stoked. I'm definitely excited to cut the legs loose and freaking go chase bugles.
Yeah, that's going to be the shit.
Hearing, yeah, man, hearing you talk, it's just like it's fueling the fire. I'm pumped. I got to see some bulls spar. And I got some really good footage I'll probably post of really good 6-point and some raghorns fighting and some pretty decent bugling action last week, you know, early September when I was in Colorado hunting mule deer. And it got me pretty excited. But yeah, at this point now, like, shit's popping off. It's yeah, man, the elk rut is like about to bust loose on fire pretty much about everywhere. So yeah, I'm stoked, man. I'm really, really excited. There's no doubt. It's going to be fun.
Fucking right. Yeah, you guys will be in them. I have faith. So, good times, man. Damn good times.
Yeah, it's hard to beat the elk rut. It really is, especially when it's hot and it's, you're getting to hear bugles and you're getting to like really like kind of encompass yourself in the whole experience of elk rut hunting. It's pretty hard to beat. I mean, it really is. It's when they're screaming and shit's this chaos everywhere. Like, it's pretty cool to just kind of like sit back and take it all in and be like, wow, this is wild. It's like, you know, furry fucking dinosaurs that are roaring throughout the mountains running around. I mean, it's pretty wild to think about if you really like break it down into its like finest form.
I kept calling them screaming memes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's nuts. And like, you were so close, you got to like feel the vibrations of a bull bugling like basically through you. Like, dude, I killed my first bull in New Mexico at 7 yards and he was ripping a bugle as I was settling my pin. And I mean, the saliva and spit was basically coming out of his mouth, hitting me. I mean, literally at 7 yards, I killed him. And I'll never forget, like, when he bugled, it literally felt like he was going to fucking knock me over because he was facing right at me and had, like, no clue I was there. Like, I'm behind this little jack pine and full draw, and he just, you know, cuts loose, and I'm just like, holy fuck. Like, you know, like you see like the TV shows or like, you're like the movies, like some dragon roars and like, you know, blows a guy over or some shit. Like, that's like how it was. I was like, what the fuck am I doing right now?
That's awesome. Yeah. I almost had that, you know, but,
yeah,
we'll get at them.
Absolutely. Well, hell yeah, man. Well, dude, it's been great to catch up. Man, between Africa, Wyoming, fuck, dude. So what do you got now? So now you're just, you got whitetails October 1st, right?
Yeah. Illinois. Yeah, whitetails October 1, and then pretty much that until I go back to Wyoming for 5 days, and then back to whitetails till the end of season, and then, the grind never stops. So we'll see. Try and get on a good buck or two, but, you know, I'm chilling. I'm feeling good, so.
And then if you don't kill a bull in October, you can buy an over-the-counter and elk tag in Utah and go come do the dreaded elk hunt that I know you just would love to do with me in the cold and the snow and on the top of a mountain in Utah. So you got that option too.
I think it'll be time for me to come back home to whitetails. But, you know, one day I'm going to do that hunt with you just to show you that I'm just going to do it, you know.
I'm gonna pressure you into it, even though you'll probably motherfuck me every second of every day. But it's still it's a hunt we just have to do because we've talked about it so much, and you're always like, "Yeah, man, nope. You go ahead, and I'll cheer you on. I'll root for you, but nope. But one of these days, I think I'm gonna catch you on a frisky day. You're gonna be like, you know what? Fuck it, I'll do it.
Yeah, I probably will. To be honest. Maybe, I'll have to plan something out where, like, I can do some other hunt, and then I'm, like, already out there, and then I'll just come along with you.
Yep. I mean, and you know what? Maybe we can even talk Devin into it, too, because he's also the guy that's like, yep, I'll sit in the truck, I'll glass for you, I'll look for some bulls, but nah, man, I'm not trekking up the mountain with you. But I think, I don't know, I think if you and I were to get out there, I think we could even talk Devin into doing it for a few days with us.
We got the three amigos back together. I think we would all do it. But right now, chasing elk in the snow in the mountains does not sound like something I want to do.
Well, maybe in a few months, maybe, dude, you'll be like, you know what? I'm feeling frisky, Sam. I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm heading to the cold and the snow. Clint and I is going to go battle the mountains and hunt elk in January and December. Sounds like fun.
We'll see.
Know. You might have whitetails dead by then, a bull in Wyoming dead. And you're like, you know what? I'm feeling confident, feeling a little cocky. You know what, Clint, fuck it. I'm going to buy it, Tay. Let's do it. Let's go. I'll be like, all right. I'm going to wait on it. I'm going to wait on it.
We'll see.
We'll see. I'll take it. Well, Kurt, hey, man, I can't thank you enough. It's always fun to have you jump on this series with me. Man, we don't get to do it as much as we'd like to, but hey, that's because we're both grinding. We're both busy as fuck, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows where to find you on Working Class Bowhunters Instagram. You got your own personal page. So instead of going through all of that, what's coming up? Like, what do you want to tell? Like, what's happening? Or is there anything you want to tell people that's like, hey, be on the lookout for this? Like, what's going on in WCB world that maybe you want to promote or kind of put a little, maybe little feelers out there for some stuff that's coming up? I'm just going to let you take it away from there, man, and close it however you want to close it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate having me on and then doing this whole thing, even though we were supposed to host this show together, but this, I'm kind of liking the way it all fell in. But, you know, we have, without going too into detail yet, we do have a lot on the way as far as like podcasting in general is concerned. Like there's some things coming down the line we're really excited about that are coming that's gonna basically pull in a lot of interest, no matter, you know, whether or not it's Western hunting or whitetails or whatever it may be. And so we have a master plan. It actually wasn't the master plan all along, but it's kind of falling into place that way, which is cool. So that's pretty vague, but you guys will see pretty quick, hopefully this fall. We're working on expanding our studio. We are also working on, like I alluded to a little bit earlier, something basically getting guys and gals to chase their dream hunt, to help you pay for your dream hunts, to help you with your point systems, for states and all that stuff. We got some stuff like that coming down the line that should also launch this fall, and we'll keep you guys all in the loop. We're trying to crank out more for our Patreon members. We did a live last night, exclusive for Patreon, and there was talk about adding another Patreon level and doing like exclusive, like Patreon hangouts and stuff like that. We're going to explore some of those options. So, kind of vague on all of that stuff, but, you guys will see it when it happens. And I think it'll be big for us. And, hopefully we're going to suplex outdoor podcasting on its neck and then, kind of show you guys what we got up our sleeve.
I like it. Anything, everyone always asks me any, and I kind of know the answer to this, but I'm going to let you be the one, the ringleader. Merchandise wise, I've been getting asked, do we have new stuff coming for the fall? Hats, shirts, hoodies. How are we looking on Eric's end of things?
Eric's got a lot he's working on too. He's been kicked in high gear lately.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, there's a lot of merch coming. We have some new products coming as well. Outside of merch, that are going to be at our store, workingclassbowhunter.com. And then, Eric's working on a bunch of stuff, and so that'll be rolled out here soon. Also in the fall, we're just
perfect.
The next month or so, a lot of the stuff should be a lot further along in the process, if not full blast rocking. So
Well, there it is. Everybody stay on the lookout next month or two. A lot of changes in a good way. A lot of big things taking place. Kurt's, he's being vague. He's not allowed to give away too much, but he's going to give you enough to get you interested. He didn't take your panties off, but he definitely dropped them a little bit for you. He's not able to take them completely off yet, though.
Yeah, not yet. We'll get there.
Not yet. I'll be on the lookout. Well, hey, my man, appreciate the fuck out of you, dude. You know that. As always, always a blast to have you on. We don't get to do this enough, but that's, like I said, because we're both super busy, so it's always it's not to be looked at as a bad thing. It's honestly probably a good thing because you're constantly busy on your end. I'm busy on my end. So busy is good, but can't thank you enough for coming on, man. Stoked to see how the October elk hunt pans out. I'm sure you'll get it done. I'm going to be chasing bulls here in less than 36 hours. So hopefully,
don't kill one.
We can get a September. Yeah. Get a September bull killed for Team CC. And, fuck, man. I'm looking forward to whitetail season and it'll be fun to stay up to date with everybody and, hopefully do a recap with you here, at the end of October. And by then you've got a bull and a whitetail killed. So that's where I'm setting the bar for you.
I like
by the
that.
End of October, by Halloween, I want to see a good bull with a rifle in Wyoming and hopefully a good buck killed. I mean, I'm not trying to like put too much fucking pressure on you, but yet I am.
I like that. Okay. Yeah, we'll go with that.
There it is.
Well, cool. Thanks, buddy. It was fun.
Absolutely. Hey, you guys know what to do. We'll catch you next week. Don't fucking settle. Happy hunting. Tis the season. I hope everybody is out there chasing dreams and chasing down critters. Talk to you next week.
Can you say the letter C? CNC Hunt Files.